Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
In this scripture that we're going to do tonight is that they ask two questions. They ask one, Jesus, when is your coming? When are you going to come? Number two question, when is the end of the world? And that it takes the whole chapter and still doesn't answer everything. But we will go and start with how the chapter is laid out, which primarily zeroes in to when is the end of the world? When are you going to come? And then when is the end of the world? So let's see how far we can get through today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, dear God. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can come to you, study your word, oh God. I'm glad, oh God, that our heart cannot be troubled, Lord. If we believe in you, God, and that you're going to come before us, God, and you've prepared a place for us, God. Oh, Lord, there's going to be many things happen in this world, but I thank you, God, that we are your children, Lord, and you're going to protect us, God, and we don't have to have any fear, Lord. In thy precious name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I had a lot of things since Sister Anne Maria passed away, and after her at graveside and the like, and my thoughts are poor Dwayne is hard of hearing, and you all pray for him, will you? Pray for me that I don't spread. I don't want it from you, and you don't want it from me. But just as I said, I've got a loud voice. There's the difference between teaching and preaching. You know, in preaching, you spit more. And when I teach, I do so also. And I was going to put this on more to protect Dwayne than I was. Anyway, Psalm Matthew 24. And I hope you have your Bibles or you have your smartphones or whatever, and you have your Bible there. And we'll try to go through it verse by verse. And he sat, he's now talking to the disciples as they're sitting on the bank of the Sea of Galilee. He was sitting over by the Mount of Olives. And as he sat in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, can anybody that's got their Bible, if you go back to Psalm 23, or Matthew 23, and tell us what he had been teaching about then. Because they wanted to know when these things were going to happen. And if somebody to find it in chapter 23, just shout it out and tell me, what were they studying back there? What was this? Okay, brother, say it. They're talking about the religious leaders primarily. But he made some prophecies there. And what did he say? But anyway, they sat and they said, tell us when these things are going to come to pass, Jesus. And then, what is the sign of your coming? And Lord, tell us today, when is the end of the world? How many have the same questions? I'd like to know those answers too. There's a lot of them right here in chapter 24. if you're interested to them. So the question is, when are you going to come again, Lord? And when is the end of the world coming? How many know that we are living in the last days? I'm telling you that, there's even one prophecy that I'm reminded every time I come to Portland. And that is the chariots jostling in the streets. Did you know back in the Minor Prophets, it said there's going to come a time when the chariots are going to jostle in the streets. I think it's a prophecy of automobiles. And every time I come down here, they scare me half to death. They don't care whether you're 83 years of age or what age you are. They just zoom in and zoom out and cut you off. But anyway, I really get nervous sometimes coming down here. But we are living in the last days. Verse 5 of Matthew 24, he said, in the last days, many are going to come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Last 50 years or so, there's many, many people that have come and said, I am a prophet, or I am coming, or I am the Messiah. And you get that a lot in other countries, especially Africa, where they will say, somebody will set themselves up as a guru, or set themselves up as a prophet, or set themselves up as a Messiah. In the Philippines, there's one man there that he claims that he is the prophet, and man alive, he has a jet and a palace and big cars and a fleet of cars and all these things. You know, it can pay if you go and claim to be a Messiah. But you may not hear it very much, but all over the world they're saying, I am the Christ. And so anyway, Jesus said unto them, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. So we are in the last days. And people are going to also see in verse 8, there's going to be many that are going to say, I hear, now this one you know, how many have heard of wars and rumors of wars? In the last days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. How many wars have we had just in this last century? We've had the Spanish War over Cuba. We've had World War I. We've had World War II. We've had Korean War. We've got the Vietnamese War. We've had wars that never stopped over there in the Middle East, Afghanistan. It just keeps on, one right after another. And that's one of the things about mankind. Somehow, we cannot get along. Lord, I hope for peace on earth. And Jesus said, in the last days, they're going to say peace and safety. And then what? Sudden destruction. I mean, this is what we're going to kind of, got good news tonight. And bad news. You're getting the bad news first. As he goes over this, he says, there's going to be rumors of wars. Amen. But then what does he say in the right next phrase? Somebody shout it out. Come on. See that you be not troubled. Come on, Di. Troubled. See that you be not troubled. How many people do you hear around you on the news? Every trouble. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Amen. And so here it is. He said there's going to be nations rising against nations, and kingdoms are going to rise up against kingdoms. So there's going to be trouble. There's going to be peace. Have we had kind of trouble in our own nation? Would you say that that would qualify as a war? Between two factions, they don't seem to be able to get together. And there's only, and isn't it interesting that in the Senate we've got 50 of one and 50 of the other? Okay? And the vice president's got to make the deciding vote. We even can't get together, even in our own country. Amen. We've got the liberals and we've got the conservatives. And back and forth they go. And I want peace. Peace. Amen. And then he goes and says here that there's going to be famines. Now, do you know, can anybody tell me a famine that's happening right now in the world? Come on. Africa. They've got locusts that are eating all of the crops in Africa. There's a drought where all of the pasture is dying out. And they're the people that are used to making their living by their cattle and by their goats. The goats have died, and they have nothing to. And where do they end up? They end up in the cities, and there's nothing in the cities for them, and in camps all over Africa. But it isn't just Africa. Parts of Asia, the same thing is happening. In the last age, Jesus said there's going to be famines. And these famines are going to go around the world. Amen. There's parts of India. And there's a big war going on between the government and the farmers. And they're boycotting each other. And it just one right after the other. Amen. But Jesus said, don't be worried. How many are going to obey? Amen. Do not be troubled. Now, some of these things is hard to keep from trouble. But this thing is troubling many times. But that's one of the things that I thank God for. And I think he has given me a thankful heart. And that thankful heart has kept me many times from being in trouble all the time. My dear mother, she was forever worrying. She worried. She knew that somebody was going to break into the house every night and going to assault her. Poor mother, she went through it every time. And yet I would have to say she was a child of God. You know, she loved God, but she was worried. She didn't have the peace that she should have had. In fact, but she, mother would get up in testimony and let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go away to prepare a place for you. And she would testify that, but every other week for years. And yet she didn't or could not grasp it. God help us to let to put ourselves into his hands. Be not troubled. Be why? Because these things are going to come to pass. Okay? It's one good thing that the Bible talks, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. These things are only temporary. Amen? It won't be long before Jesus is going to come. And he's going to come for us. Amen. Amen. There's going to be famines. People are going to be hungry. People are going to have to go to camps where they'll be fed by people or the Red Cross. But then, what's the next phrase? And there's going to be what? Are we in a pestilence right now? Why do we have to go around putting this on our face all the time? We're afraid of giving it, and we're afraid of receiving it. This pestilence is something, and this is not the first one. There's been the Black Plague. There's been the Spanish Flu. Was that the 1917? And a lot of people today, when this started in, they kept trying to tell me, oh, it's just another flu. Don't worry about it. But I did. Next week, those over 80, that's myself and my wife, are supposed to get a shot. And I'm going to take the shot. I want it. Why? Because we're in the last days and there's a pestilence all around us. And I just heard a report that very likely, there, if it continues, there won't be one person on earth that does not have the virus in one form or another. Lord, keep us from that. But we're in the last days. In the last days, there's going to be famines and there's going to be pestilence. And this is part of life. But don't be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then after the famines and the pestilence, what did Jesus say with his good news? What's it going to be? Earthquakes. Going to be earthquakes. Wonderful. Wonderful earth. We've had, every time I go back and forth the cabin, it wasn't an earthquake, but it was a landslide there that came down last week. On a lady in her car, just living her life, on a date with her husband, but he was in the other car. And down it came and killed her. And every day, at the time I go by there, I just wonder, they found the car. I just found, 2 days ago, they found the car and found the lady in there. But that's part of being in the last days. There's going to be earthquakes. But that's not the only thing. There's a big snowstorm back east. There's places where there's five. Isn't this good news? 5 feet of snow. And they say that another one's coming in this weekend. But I'm glad that I'm out here, not on the East Coast. I've been watching that reports all the time, and the East Coast are getting it. If they're not getting a typhoon or a storm, something else is happening to them. Well, thank God that poor Anthony, the Lord keep poor Anthony from all of this that's going on. And there's going to be famines, going to be pestilence, there's going to be earthquakes. Where? All over. All over. Diverse places. you're going to have earthquakes. There's going to be volcanoes that are going off. There's one thing right after another. And whether you believe it or not, the scientists tell us that this earth is heating up. And within 50 years, it'll be 2 degrees higher. And the tides are going to be at least 4 or 5 inches higher, which is going to flood some of our coastal cities. Isn't this wonderful news? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. So there's going to be all of these going to come. And then in verse 8, surely it's going to stop there. No? What does verse 8 say? All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. And I really believe, and Mark and Tony tell me often, we are in the time, the beginning of sorrows. And we are. I believe that this is just the beginning of the end time. But I want to tell you this. That is not the story of the church. Do you get it? The church, in the beginning of sorrows, in the middle of sorrows, at the end of sorrows, the church will not be here. We will be gone. I don't look forward to the sorrows. I don't look forward to the earthquakes or the pestilence or the famines. I look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the disciples ask him? When are you coming? When are you coming? Amen. But all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now what's going to happen that can be worse than famines and pestilence and earthquakes? Well, then you're going to be delivered up to be afflicted. How many of you people ever been afflicted, persecuted for your faith? It's going to come, folks. They're going to make fun of you, first of all, and they're going to say that, well, we're holy rollers. Although I wish more of you would roll. I don't see very many rolling these days. Amen. Well, there's going to be a time when they're going to, and along with this pestilence, what did they say? Churches, close your doors. And then when they couldn't do that, well, only have 5 in a room. And then when that wouldn't work, 25. Now, I kind of agree with 6 feet apart and wearing a mask. That doesn't do me hurt me that much. People in China have been wearing masks for years. And I think it's going to be a long time before the general public are going to put away their masks. Okay? You just wait and see if my prophecy comes true. Just because we get a shot is not going to be the end of all of this. Okay. And so they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. I can kind of take that. But what's the next phrase? Come on, Di, where's your Bible? Stand. I can take the affliction. They're going to kill us. You hear Mark out there? He's not worrying. But just because when they come after us, he's the tallest guy around. So he's going to get it first. So, if they get him, I'm going to run up to my cabin. Okay. Yeah, one visitor. Well, people that are in the hospital with it, their wives cannot even come in and see them. Their son been in there 3 and 4 months and haven't seen their spouse. Talk about being in a terrible, terrible time. And so there's going to be affliction. There's going to be martyrs for their faith. We're going to be hated. Oh, I don't like to be hated. I don't want to be hated. I'm one of these guys that I like to get along. You know, I don't like to be in a conflict and the like. And so we're going to be, they're going to kill us. They're going to be hate us. But it's all these things are going to be for what? For His name's sake. There's one thing that they can kill you, but if they're going to kill me, I hope that I'm martyred for His name's sake. You know, so many of the apostles, there was only one apostle that died of a natural death. And that was only after they tried to boil him in oil. Those people in the first century, second century, and third century did not have a happy time, old people. They went into the caves under the city, down into the places where nobody could find them. And that's where they had church. They didn't have a government telling them they could only have 25. They had to get down into the graves and have church. We've got it easy, folks. We have it easy. I know we don't like all of this stuff, but anyway, they're going to hate us by all nations for your name's sake. Verse 10. And then, oh mercy. Right in the middle, I mean, you could be killed. You could be afflicted. You know, you could be hated. But Lord, don't let me be offended. That's the biggest problem of people in the church. There's more people in the church that have left the church because somebody offended them. Amen or amen? Somebody said something. Somebody didn't shake their hand. Somebody did. And they were offended. And by Jesus said, woe to the person who causes offense. But that's not, it's those of us that are offended or let ourselves be offended that lose out. Most of us lose our face because somebody offends us. And then there's others, there's going to come a time where we're going to have to stand up for one another, but there's going to be a time when people are going to betray us. Our very best friend is going to turn against us. Is that true? Is that Bible or is it not Bible? Wouldn't you like a happy... We'll get there. There's a happy message here. Okay. All right. All right. There's going to be offense and there's going to be people who betray us and hate us. Okay. And there's going to be false prophets that rise and deceive many. Folks, hold on to the truth. If the Bible says it, believe it. If the Bible says it, follow it. Okay? Don't let somebody trip you up with untruth or fairy tales. Amen. Don't be deceived. Deceived What would be deceived mean? Make you think, huh? Don't believe a lie. I guess that would be a wonderful. Come on, somebody else. Some of you haven't said a word. You don't like what I'm saying. I don't like it either, tell you the truth. Okay. But there's going to be many false prophets who are going to rise and shall deceive many. And verse 12. And because iniquity. What is iniquity? Gross sinfulness. But because of gross sinfulness shall arise. Amen? Shall abound. Be all around. Oh, by the way, is there sin out there? Anybody ever looked at on television these days? Anybody seen what the theme of most of the movies are? The Bible teaches us that we do not steal, but most of the movies, they've got stealing. Bible tells us that we're supposed to be true to our wives. Look what the movies say. No, you deceive. You have an affair with somebody else. And it goes on and on. Iniquity shall arise and shall abound. Not just a little bit, but it's going to get a lot. All right? Because of all of these things, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh God, help me to keep my fire burning. Set me on fire, God. Don't let me get cold. Don't let me let my faith just leak out. Amen. But after all those things, he says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. How many are going to endure to the end? How many have a made up mind? Have a made up mind. What did Pastor preach on last Sunday? If not, I'd love to be a billionaire, but if not, amen. I love to live to 115, but if not, you know, it was only the last year that I've gotten old. I never used to even mention it, but I don't know. It's getting to me. Lord, set me on fire again. Let my youth be restored again. Amen. And then verse 14. Want to know when Jesus is going to return? Here it is right here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in some of the nations. A-L-L. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay? Then we're really in the end time. Well, you say, well, that's a long way away. Do you realize that there happens to be about 215 political entities or nations in the earth? And just our church, and I'm not saying that we're the only church that's going to go up in the rapture, but we're going to be the big, we're going to be part of that anyway. We're going to be a big part of that. But anyway, this little church that we belong to has 205 missionaries. Well, no, I have more than that missionaries. But we have missionaries and at least 205 of those nations. and entities. If you go and get, I've got it on my wall in my hall, the big map of all the foreign missionaries. And they're all over this world. Preaching this gospel. Preaching the truth. The gospel. What is the gospel? Tell me. That's right. The death, the burial, the resurrection. It's called the good news. The gospel, the good news of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he died for me, I die out to this world in repentance. Because he was buried for me, I was buried in Jesus' name, not in that tank, but in the harbor of Kingston, Jamaica. Amen. Because he rose again for me, I can rise again, and I did rise again to newness of life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, 68 Wildman Street, when I was 15 years of age. Baptized, I guess, when I was 13. Amen. But anyway, this is the good news. The good news. Because of the gospel, we have the salvation message of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Okay. Then it goes on to say that there's going to be a tribulation. What's that? That's a big time where people afflict you. The great tribulation in verses 15 through 23. If you've got your Bibles there with you. Okay. Now, before this big tribulation. Now, you got to understand some things. First of all, the great tribulation is 7 years. It starts when the Antichrist is well known, or the world accepts the Antichrist. What does anti mean? Against Christ. Somebody taking the place of Christ. Okay? This world is looking for a man. They're looking for somebody who can bring them peace. And somebody's going to come on the scene and going to promise them peace. Okay. Now, when he starts in and the world knows who he is, there's going to be a time of tribulation. Now, this tribulation, the Bible says it'd be in 7 years. And it's divided into two parts. Each of these two parts, the Bible says, is 3.5 years in length. The first would be the tribulation period. And the second is called the Great Tribulation. Now, why is it called the Great Tribulation? It's because you're going to find out, if you go back to Daniel 11, that this person is going to go in to the holies of holies, going to desecrate that at that time. And even before that, the Jews, I should back up and say, in this tribulation period of 7 years, the Jews are going to accept him also as their Savior. Until halfway through, in 3.5 years, where he goes into their temple. Before we get that, then he must have a temple, or the Jews must have a temple, right? So what's going to happen next very quickly is there's going to be a temple built, okay? But he's going to go into that temple. He's going to go in and desecrate and make offerings on the altar, which only a priest is allowed to do, okay? And I believe that Jesus is going to come for the bride before the tribulation. And if he doesn't come before the tribulation, for certain, in my belief, he's going to come before the great tribulation. Because I don't believe that the bridegroom is going to take his bride through that time of sorrow. I believe we're going to be out of here. Okay? I don't hear anybody say, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. The rest of you are looking at me kind of in amazement, I guess. We're not going to be here in the great tribulation. And I don't even believe we're going to be here in the first of the 7-year tribulation. But there's some scriptures that will let us know that we're going to go through some terrible times as a church just before we're raptured. But still, I believe that our bridegroom loves us so much that he's going to take us up. Now, when they talk about the rapture, they asked another question. Remember, they asked two questions? We've been dealing with one in the end of the world. They asked another question. And what was that question? When are you coming? Okay? And so that's the one we were talking about. When are you going to come? And he's going to come for his church. We're going to read some of these scriptures. The Bible teaches, I believe, that there's two times when Jesus is going to come. The first time he's coming for his saints. All right? The second time he's going to come with his saints to judge the world. And that will be the beginning of the millennial period. But we're going to be ruling with him during that period of time. He's going to come with his saints. But the first time, he's coming down for his saints. Amen? And the Bible is very plain about those two different comings of the Lord in the last time. When are you going to come? Well, we will kind of get into that. How's our time coming? All right. So, starting at verse 15, I guess it would be. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He's talking about the Antichrist. And you'll find it in the 11th chapter of Daniel. And I hope that you will read all through this whole chapter again. But this will be when the abomination, the prophet said that the desolation of abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet shall stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. That would be Daniel 11:31, if you're interested. Now, during that time, that is going to be a terrible, terrible time, because that's when the Jews are going to wake up and turn against the Antichrist. As soon as they see that he desecrated their temple and desecrated their altar, they're going to turn against him. And all the fury of the Antichrist is going to come down, and the world is going to come down against the Jews. Okay? Then let them, he's talking about the Jews, I believe, right there. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is of the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now I love it better in the Luke one rather than the Matthew. It says two will be on the roof. Two women will be on the roof. One will be taken and the other left. Do not go down for your stuff. I got too much stuff. You've got too much stuff. Okay? I'm thinking I've got to downsize. And I don't want to downsize. I mean, you should see the battles that go on between my dear wife and myself when we're trying to get rid of a whole bunch of straws that we've never used in the last 10 years. No, she didn't make a fuss over that. I was surprised, though. But that was something we tried to do today. Whole bunch of, that much of straws that we had in our drawer that we had been collecting. You know, many times I've been in the airplane going to the mission field, and I've wondered about people. They tell me that in the airplane crash, if they start down toward it, people jump up to try to get their stuff out of the top of their, where they got it stored. All right? When the airplane is going to crash, folks, don't take time to try to go through and get your stuff. Leave your case up there, okay? When Jesus comes, don't go down for your stuff. All right? And then the good thing would be if you got rid of a lot of your stuff now. David, get rid of your stuff. I've got two houses full of stuff. I've got two garages full of stuff. And if I'm trying to get rid of some, especially if Mike gets rid of the rest of his stuff out of my garage. And he said last Sunday he was going to do that. But I hear that he's got an extra room up there now. And he's going to collect the stuff from my garage. And he said now I've got room for it up in his room. So he's going to just change the position of his stuff. Okay. If you're in Judea and flee to the mountains, let him which is in the housetop not come down or take anything out of his house. By the way, some of these in the chapter before, Stan, I was going I forgot to comment on the 23rd chapter. He talked about the temple. And he said to the disciples, you see every rock that's in this temple is going to be torn down, okay? And this beautiful temple is going to be no more. And that happened in 70 AD when Titus came in and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem, okay? So some of these things, there are Bible scholars that feel that 70 AD was the time that some of this stuff was fulfilled, okay? And I do know that that temple was torn down during that period of time. But I think, though, that, and at that time, they did flee to the hills. And they went up onto somebody maybe can remind me of the, where is that place, the fortress that Herod built up there? Somebody knows. Anyway, the Jews, during that time, the last of them fled up to that fortress. And there they were there until the Romans finally broke in there. And they committed suicide up in that. That was in 70 A.D., but I'm not talking about 70 AD here. I believe a lot of these things in Matthew 24 has yet to be fulfilled. And they're being fulfilled right in our time. Okay? Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Neither let him which is on the field return back for his clothes. Don't go down for your stuff, folk. Then it goes on and tells us, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. I heard a story of a Chinese lady that was fleeing for her life when the Japanese came into China. And she was pregnant and 9 months due with a child. And as they were running from the Japanese, and it was a rainstorm, she suddenly started to deliver this child. And this child was delivered on the banks of the road. And then she held the child close to her body, but couldn't keep the child warm enough, and she lost that baby. But said, this is what he's talking about here. You pray that you're not with child during this period of time. We're really talking to the Jews and to the people that have not gone up in the rapture, which I believe can happen any day. Okay? But don't, he said, woe to them that are with child, to them that get sucked in those days. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the seventh day. Then it says, for then shall be great tribulation. I believe that's when the great tribulation starts. Either the first of the 7 years or the one in the middle of the 3.5. And I just hope that you start studying it for yourself. Now you ask Tony back there, he knows which one. Of course, he's been studying Brother Baxter, and he knows that Brother Baxter says that Jesus is going to come at the end of the tribulation. But I don't believe that. Still believe that, Tony? Anyway, so that there's going to be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Have we been talking about a bunch of problems so far today? That's not, none of those things. Pestilence, famines, earthquakes. None of those things are going to be like what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. I don't want to be here. I want to be gone. I want to be raptured. Amen. Except to those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. And in the most cases, it's talking about the Jews. Okay? They are still, no matter what they did, they're still God's people. Do you know when God gave them a promise? He said, you're going to be my people. He really meant it. And when he said that to you, he really meant it. He really, really meant it. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you and is not going to let you down. I believe he's got a special place. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to way to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you shall be also. Hallelujah. I'm coming again for you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay, so that is what's going to happen to those that are in this world. Now, when we get into after the tribulation, I guess we got about another 10 minutes. There's going to be the battle. There's that second coming when Jesus is going to come back with his saints to the battle of Armageddon. He's the Antichrist, and this world is going to come down against the Jews, going to try to destroy them. God's going to come down on the side of the Jews, and the church is going to be with him, and he's going to have his angels with him, and there's going to be a great battle, and this battle's called the Battle of Armageddon. And when it's finished, he's going to take Satan, and Bible says he's going to bind him, and he's going to throw him in hell, in prison, for 1,000 years. That's going to be, and during that time, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. You believe it? Yeah. The Bible says it. Amen. If you don't, haven't read it, read it. Read it. And then at the end of that, now this part I don't understand, folks. I really don't. Why, when you got the guy on the floor, why don't you leave him there? Why release Satan for a period of time? But a lot of people believe that he let Satan go for a short period of time to tempt those that were born during the 1,000 years of peace. And that they're going to be tempted again. And he's going to try them out, whether God's going to be their God or Satan is going to be their deceiver. But doesn't matter. But there's going to be, then, God's going to set up a great white throne judgment. Okay? Satan's going to be before him and all of his little imps. And I hope that none of you are part of the imps and are going to be brought before God, and judgment is going to be set out, and he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Okay? So that's going to be, there's going to be a great tribulation, a period of time. Okay. Now, what he's going to talk about, the verse 27 talks about the coming of God. And it seems to be a description of the rapture. That word rapture, I don't think is in the Bible, but we say it. It's meaning caught away. We're going to be caught away with him. As far as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
He's the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. He's perfect divine, and he's perfect human. Amen. And he's going to come in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, in another place. And then there's going to be, and we call that the rapture. All right, let's go to Revelation 6. If you want to read about the Great Tribulation, you can go to chapters 6 through 8 of Revelation. But then we're going to go on here. Immediately after the tribulation in those days, I think he's still in Matthew 24 now, verse 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with great sound and a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, that's the Jews, from the four winds or the four corners of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other. Now that's good news. Isn't that good news? Verse 33. Are you with me? When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. What? The coming of the Lord. We will be at it. That's with his saints. Where verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And I'm a little fuzzy about what generation he's talking about. Whether he's talking to the disciples, was he talking about that generation? Therefore, that would kind of lean it toward 70 AD, some of these things coming to pass? Or is he talking about my generation? I don't know. I'm reading it. And I think that it won't be very long before Jesus will be here. Amen. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, what were they doing? Eating and drinking. Are people doing that today? Marrying and giving in marriage. Marrying and divorcing. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now here again, the interpretation. Is that the rapture or the coming with the saints? All right? I want you to be thinking of some of these. What did you got to read the scriptures and make up your own mind. Amen. But it ends up again. There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Are you going to be taken? Or are you going to be left? Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Jesus is coming for his bride. I could go into talking about Jacob looking, longing for Rebecca. Rebecca on the camels, just looking for a glimpse of her husband, Jacob. But our time is gone there. I would like you to stand with me. Amen. And there's just a few more scriptures, brother. Acts 1, 7 through 11. Okay? This is when Jesus left us the first time. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And they, while they steadfastly looked toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which he also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, say same. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Romans 8:11. But if, was that your bones? But if this, Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many have the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues? Amen. As the Spirit gave utterance. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. What happened this last week? Those of us were in big sorrow. Why? A precious saint went to him. Hard for us to accept. But he said, be not ignorant concerning them that are asleep. But you notice he says they're asleep. That's not so bad. That's better than being dead. But ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. I want to sleep in Jesus. I want to sleep in Jesus. Will God bring with him? In other words, he's coming and he's going to take us out. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. We're not going to be ahead of them. Okay? I love this next verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall be raised first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. I'm laughing because one time with Brother Clemens, some of you don't know Brother Clemens, one of the greatest men in Pentecost. Amen. I was teaching on this one time, and I was reading this scripture, and he was down in that congregation. And I said, when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and I left out together. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I remember Brother Clemens, together, Brother Reynolds, together, we're going up together. He wasn't nice and calm like a lot of you folks were tonight. So I've learned we are going up together. And amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify us unto himself as a peculiar or a different or a set apart people, zealous for good works. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. How many have the first fruits of the Spirit? Amen. Waiting. Not only they ourselves, but the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. No more suffering. No more death, folks. No more misunderstanding. No more time to get our feelings hurt. Corinthians talks about it being a purifying hope. A purifying hope. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and it goes on, a whole bunch of people, druggers, rioters, executioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you. Okay? But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Why, how? By the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be not found in him. Be found in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. You know, Ephesians talks about being blameless and without spot. You know, it talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that ye might sanctify it and cleanse it with the word, washing of water by the word. Who's doing that? The husband is supposed to do that to the wife. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Does anybody have, and this will truly be the last verse, 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bibles, you want to read it. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. I told you that we had bad news and good news. I kept the good news toward the last. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. I want you to lift your hands.